It's a GVB mine warrior from beautiful downtown Florida today. A bit glary outside, but we're in a beautiful location talking with the wonderful people from Springboard. I've met some incredible people at this conference, people that would inspire anybody if they didn't label them to start with, you know, and it's the Springboard Disability Conference. And disability is a mental problem, you know, mental health, and the word depression has become the largest disability pretty much in the world now. And because once you give up on your mind, you've given up permanently. And I've seen people here with physical incapacitations that have limbs missing and body parts that don't work and all kinds of things who have got nothing but ability, nothing but drive and passion for what they're doing, the path they're trying to find, the goals they're trying to get to. And if we can only realize that life is a fight, life is the battle of you know, will every day of finding your way up to get up and to move forward and to continue on and to find your path and journey and your passion, then we're going to be in a better place. So I'll let you watch this interview. It's going to be an amazing journey for you. This is Pedro, and his story is just fantastic. I hope you get a lot out of it. Thank you. I'm sitting at the table with a wonderful guy called Pedro, who I met at this wonderful conference. And I'm not going to tell you what it's for. I'm not going to tell you why we're here. But I wanted to tell you that I'm with a fantastic guy that's got an absolute story to tell. And you'll find out why at the end. I want you to understand about mental health and the resilience and strength you need in life to sometimes just make it through the day, sometimes build yourself a career, sometimes come back through adversity. But the steps you can put in place to make it worthwhile and make it a valuable life for you no matter what. Okay, so I'm going to pass you over to Pedro now. He's on the other camera, and we'll have a bit of a chat over lunch. All right, catch you soon.
Pedro, so I've been fortunate enough to meet you, mate, here. It's fantastic. And, like, this has been a wonderful conference for me because this is something we don't get exposed to a lot. And it's the other thing, like we talked about, I was telling the ladies before, mental health and physical health are health, like you were saying. It's the same thing. But what they talk about here, it's all part of the same thing. You still got to work on that. Now, you yourself suffered some you know, really bad stuff as a kid. So you're 18 years of age. So just run me through what happened to you.
Well, I was a healthy kid my whole life. I was very much into sports. I grew up in Brazil. That's where I was born and raised. And a sociable guy. Had tons of friends. And I used to enjoy going out, traveling. Just a typical active kid. Stayed away from drugs. But then one day, I contracted a fatal form of bacterial meningitis. Spread out throughout the body. And that, I mean, any bacterial virus can cause septic shock, right? Mine was bacterial meningitis, but in the end, if you get into septic shock, your body starts defending against itself. The blood flows to the more important organs, and that's how I lost my limbs. Both legs above the knees and both arms above the elbows.
And for you, and as an 18-year-old kid, as an 18-year-old kid, you know, what does it do to you? Because you're out there. One stage, you're playing sport, you're kicking stuff around, having a great time. Next thing, you're in a hospital bed and you've lost everything you got. So where did that take you? So just like, on a mental capacity we're talking about now, I really want to get into the mental side of what you've been through, because how did you feel?
Well, I mean, at first you're going to feel confused a little bit, because first of all, you have those physical challenges that come with it. They're very apparent, and you know, the small things and stuff that you used to do, brush your teeth or get dressed up, eat. Out of the blue, you cannot do that stuff by yourself anymore. You lose your physical independence. But then there's that psychological, mental part of it. And that comes with an identity shock or identity crisis, right? One day I was Pedro, the guitar guy, the soccer player, and then the other day I'm a completely different Pedro. And for circumstances that were completely out of my control, right? Like I said, I was healthy. I didn't do anything to cause this. It just happened. So that's the biggest challenge there. I mean, there's this intense identity shock going on continuously every single day, you know. But it takes time. In the end, I wasn't supposed to be here anyways. You know, there were two situations with less than 1% chances of survival in the hospital. I stayed there for 6 months fighting for my life. And you can see that as an unfortunate thing, but you can look in the perspective of, hey, this identity crisis you're going through, it's nothing but a new blank sheet where you can draw anything you want, you know. So that Pedro, the soccer guy and all that, that Pedro is unfortunately gone, but there's a new Pedro that I can build from there.
Awesome. And so for you, I mean, talking to, we do a lot of talking with people about mental health. We talk about what it means to have exactly that, mental health. And it's health. You know, we were talking before the table, before you came out here, about it being, you know, we've always separated, and especially since the old days, even the health system, especially in America, has treated it differently, which is physical health and mental health are two different animals. And they're not, it's cohesive. So what's your view on that?
What is
mental health or health to you? Like, how do you keep healthy?
Well, I mean, I have a very holistic approach to my health. I feel my mental health very much connected to my physical health, and I also that's a two-way road. So your physical health might be very much connected to your mental health as well. So I eat well. After I started walking and doing sports again, I started weightlifting again. I started eating really healthy, tons of fiber, staying hydrated every day. That makes you feel better. That alongside, so basically I break down into nutrition and exercise. Exercise I'll break down into stretching, cardio, and lifting. Those are the three realms.
And so how's your lifting work? Because you're missing certain components.
I have a mentor in my life of no adaptation. So if you go to my apartment, I live by myself. If you go to my car, I can drive any car at any moment. I'll use my foot to step on the gas and brake, and never had an accident, knock on wood, but and then my house too. And then the same thing goes to gym. I go to a regular gym, and then I look around and say, how can I adapt myself to this situation, not adapt to the room to myself? So I'll hit the pack flies. Actually, last week I was just in Oklahoma City, where some of the guys that build my hardware are there. And we just built a new weightlifting arm, which I'm looking forward to.
Awesome.
To try. And so it has a.
And so, what for you, your main muscle the most would be obviously your delts and your back, and combining all the core strength and then your
Yeah, and so as I was saying, you know, between stretching, cardio, and lifting, cardio is pretty much what I do every day. I spend 2-3 times more energy to walk or run, right? So I do that. At the gym, I go 4 times a week, maybe 5, and I do weightlifting. Everything that is left, I'm going to exercise, right? And then stretching, I think, is a big part of it, because I think, you know, weightlifting and running or swimming or kayaking, it's going to release a lot of those feel-good hormones.
Endorphins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dopamine and all that. But at the same time, stretching will act more energetically to your body. So if you as a person, you have your chest muscles short, which 99% of kids nowadays do, they have the nerd neck
like this
all day. So they have the nerd neck and round the shoulders, right? This area here, when you give someone a hug, right, you feel a good, you feel good, right? Because thoughts are just chemical process in your body, and energetically too, your nerves and everything. So let's say you have this shortened chest, that can lead you faster to a situation of depression or of sadness. When you stretch your and you have a tender chest muscles and you're able to open them up, so you stretch and exercise, that would affect your mindset and the way you feel about things as well.
And but you just said it well then in regards to opening up, and I mean, it's a simple fact of opening up the chest is also the same as opening up to people. You know, if you open up with your issues and you're not alone, you're not isolated, suddenly you've got a feeling of relief. And we did it last night. A lady sitting next to me at the table, I told her some of my journey and why we do it. She said, I've never told anybody this. She told me her story and what she'd been through, and how she ended up living in a car and suffering, and she's come back from it with great strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people think they've lost, but they haven't. It's just something different now.
Yep.
And you move forward mentally, and, you know, the physical attributes or whatever they are.
Yeah, I think, well, the mental part of it is everything. So I lost my limbs and I couldn't go up and down stairs. And even when I started walking, I was still kind of bummed about it at first. And, you know, couldn't do a lot of the things that I used to do. Nowadays, I actually do them, but before I was still learning how to use them. So, but what really bummed me bummed me up a lot about it, or made me very stressed about it, was the fact that that stigma of now being different and being disabled, or, you know, being labeled as whatever label I carry, you know. So that would really piss me off.
I'll tell you something I got from even last night, and I, you know, whenever I go to an event, I love being there the night before we do anything, because we're doing something today. We're doing a speaking gig today here. But when you go to the night before stuff and you get to meet the people in their own element, not on stage, just chatting casually, and you hear all these stories and you hear this stuff, and you start realizing that it's not a disability until we leave it is. You know, so everyone I spoke to last night is moving forward or doing wonderful things, but as you said, what they have left, the bits that work, the bits they have is what they work with, and they keep thinking positively and they go from strength to strength. Like everyone here last night is doing wonderful things. Mm-hmm. You know, the world has labeled people as disabled, but, you know, it's just been proven in the papers even the other day is that the largest issue in America, the biggest disability in America right now, probably in the world, is mental health, is depression.
Yeah.
And if you can overcome the depression. So what steps do you put in place to get through that stuff? So, no, you must have days where you go, fuck, it's no good. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when you fall off the wagon.
It's not even days. I mean, we all have days, but seasons. You know, like, the earth has seasons. We're approaching summer here now. And if you see the flowers and the trees are greener, rain is starting to pick up here in Florida. Then it's hurricane season starts and all that. I think our body is the same thing. We can't be always in a state of happiness, as we cannot be always in a state of depression, being not the opposite of happiness, but being the opposite of vitality. So you have state of vitality, then you have states of depression, you have ups and downs, and that's perfectly natural. When I'm going through a low, and I try to be really mindful of what's going on in my life, because there are so many distractions nowadays that we don't stop to, you know, look within and understand what's going on.
Like saying about the roses, no one stops to smell them anymore.
Yeah. So exactly. Yeah. So when I identify a period of a low that is going on in my life, I kind of active what I call an overcoming plan, which was active for 2 years of my life when I was dealing with this until I kind of stabilized, went back in college and, you know, normalized my life. But then through my ups and downs, I would increase that or not. That's my current lifestyle. But then, you know, when I'm doing well, I can relax a little bit more. You know, I can drink a glass of wine or, you know. But then when I'm going through my lows, I'm very particular. I'm very disciplined and on how I carry on my life and my lifestyle.
What's the biggest thing for you moving forward? Like, just how do you see the light?
Well, first of all, I think we all got to be very pragmatic. It's great to have faith. It's great to have beliefs. But for you to go from here to here and make real progress, it requires real effort, and it requires that butterfly in your stomach, right? Nothing great happens when you're relaxed. If you're relaxed, something's wrong, you know? If you're making progress while you're relaxed and comfortable, that's just inertia. It's progress that's happening in spite of you and not because of you, right? So be very pragmatic. Understand your situation. My situation, I knew for a fact that my limbs weren't going to grow back.
Coming back, that's right.
My scars, I have skin grafts, I have tons of scars all over. They weren't magically disappear, you know? So based on that, how can I live the best life possible? How can I be in service to others through this that happened to me? How can I maximize and fulfill my full potential I have with this new configuration, you know?
That's a great word, configuration.
Yeah.
That's all it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's a configuration. So, you know, I was always very pragmatic. You know, I'm the youngest of two engineers, and my dad is an engineer too. That's how I was raised, you know. I'm not telling you to go crazy on numbers and logic, but it's good to have logic. It's good to understand what is that for you. And then from there, you understand the pathway. But understanding the pathway doesn't get you anywhere, because that pathway changes. Life is dynamic, right? You marry, you get divorced, you get rich, you get poor. You have limbs, you don't. Right. The important thing is to have the good spirit and enjoy the role and keep going, because
you can lay out the path, you know, perfectly from point A to B. You're motivated, you're going to put in the effort, but then boom, you find a road C that is even better.
That's right.
Or you're forced to a road C that you got to take, you know. And I think that the important thing is to take the first step in good spirits. Do not delay, dwell. Take the first step immediately.
You run over things. Got to analyze it, analyze. They talk themselves out of it.
And then you learn as you go.
That's right.
You learn as you go. And guess what? Finding your purpose is kind of that star that guides you. But you're in a deep jungle. You're going to go left, right, south, north. But when you have a purpose, you kind of know where you're going. And to find a purpose, if you're watching this and say, hey, I don't have a purpose. I wake up and I do my thing like a robot. I don't have a reason to wake up. It's going to make things much more difficult. But we all have a purpose. Some of us have found it. Some of us haven't. But the only way to find it is showing up. Mm. It's experiencing life.
I've had friends that have suffered depressions and everything else. And of course, when you suffer depression, you isolate yourself. You start because it's not you don't want it. You just don't have the energy to communicate.
Lack of vitality.
And the same thing. I had a friend that was, you know, a lot of bad stuff happened to him in his life. He ended up taking someone's life and then his own. But that period between that, where he'd actually taken his own life, and he tried it, it didn't happen. It didn't work. And the police had him as a, you know, almost like a hospitalized criminal. And the whole thing was due to a childhood event that had happened, which really messed him up. And all they viewed him as a criminal and everything else, and the friends disappeared overnight, and that's what killed him. Mm-hmm. So how did you find after the instance you went through and all the stuff you've been through and the limbs you lost, what happened to your friends? Did they stick by you, or did you lose friends, or what's been that role?
Well, I like to say that 90% of my good friends, they're now brothers. My parents love them. They were there every day in the hospital. Some of them would drive 25 miles in heavy traffic, you know, to see me almost every day. Those guys,
their family.
Part of, yeah, and they are. 10% of the really good friends disappeared. And hey, that's fine. That's a natural filter in life, you know. And I'm not going to judge them either. You know,
my mom was fair with the friends. But they weren't as good, not they weren't as bad.
And there are a few friends that actually, there were just acquaintances or friendships that were just beginning when it happened that showed up.
Yeah, stepped up.
They say, hey, you know, let's do this together. So I have a couple of friends that I had met them like 6 months before all this happened. And nowadays they are part of the family too.
And that's a pretty important thing we just mentioned a second ago, is together. Because you can't do it alone. I mean, you've got to have support networks and people support won't judge you. You know, depression and what we've gone through, mental health is a very, you know, interesting area because people think from the neck up to a different animal. And people do judge and they do, you know, this stuff happens. And it's important to have people that are with you as a network you can reach out to, and they can reach out to you and go, hey, are you okay? Or vice versa. And, you know, to know it's a balanced thing, which, you know, either way you'll be there for each other. It gives you a lot of power.
Yeah, I think that in a situation where I'm at, where I have two wonderful brothers, like we're super close. They're all in Brazil. Well, my brothers are abroad and they have their own successful careers, but my parents and cousins and friends, they are in Brazil. I have friends there too. But with this support network that I had, it just maximizes my chances of succeeding on these, especially. But at the same time, I can see myself depressed. Being surrounded by these people, I can see myself naturally going through ups and lows,
of course.
Highs and lows. But I can hardly see myself falling into a deep depression with kind of supports the people that I surround myself with.
Yeah,
those guys that didn't show up, you know what? Too bad. You know, and I'm not trying to. It's, you know,
oh, there's no guilt. It's just people either can't deal with it, or they're not ready for it, or they just weren't that close. They just didn't care enough. And
exactly.
It's you can say it's their loss, but they've just got a different path. And
yeah.
But you know, I'll tell you now, and I'm talking to Cameron now, this fella's amazing. I only met Pedro literally a little while back, but you know, there's a lot of light in him and I see a lot of energy, and that's it's so important. And what we were talking about before about having a network of friends, we can't do this stuff alone. And if you saw that Pedro, I'm a shooter, and when I compete, you know, and I love good kit. Now, if I was a shooter and I had the kit that Pedro has, all the cool stuff, he has actually the coolest stuff I've ever seen. And I don't see this, there's no disability here. I see nothing but ability, nothing but a great guy with a great story and a great life ahead doing engineering and all the stuff he does with Hanger Clinic and all the other work he's doing. It's just phenomenal. But I'm like, can we have a look at your stuff? But I mean, this, seriously, Pedro's legs and arms and all the way he actually moves this stuff, so the training he would have to have done, and also back to the guys at the gym, because I know plenty of you know I was a Mr. Universe guy and everything else that I did when I was 20. Anybody out there that friggin' this lazy ass in the gym, have a look at what this fella does and look at his body and what he works through to become the person he is now and stop being so friggin' lazy, okay? But I'm going to have you look at his kit real quick.
So arms are body-powered arms. There's no electric-powered electronics. It's just all shoulder movement through this bicycle cable, per se, connecting the harnesses. So I can have elbow movement with them. I can have pinch movement with the hook.
Wow.
Rotation.
Just moving on, zooming
in. Yeah. Just a combination of both. And then the legs are microprocessor legs. They are wonderful technology. They have microprocessor sensors and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But they did not push me. They don't have an active engine.
Yeah.
They have a hydraulic system, like that door. The same thing that you have in the door, with the hydraulic thing that slows the door down.
Yeah.
This is going to slow my flexion.
So it gives you more of a control, because walking is just control falling.
Yeah,
control falling. People don't realize that. It gives you more control over the fall.
Downhill.
Yeah.
I fall with the right, I catch myself with the left.
Beautiful,
I fall with the left. But it's not upstairs, it's all...
all bum.
Oh, yeah. It's brutal.
So Pedro's got the glutes from hell. So any chick out there that wants to grab someone on the backside, grab him, you'll be impressed. Pedro's been fantastic meeting you, mate, and this conference has been... not only is it an eye-opener for me, but also it's been a relief for me that people that think it's disability, it's ability, and it's completely the opposite of what the world judges people as. So Pedro, thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate
it's awesome. This is absolutely awesome.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.